Friends, in Christ, grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to consider with you this evening the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, our epistle reading, the 8th chapter, but especially these words from verse 37. Paul writes, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." This is the Word of God. Please be seated. These are unsettling times in our nation, of course, with all the political divisions among us now erupting into violence and riots and murders and the spewing of the most vile threats and the vitriol in the social media and now even calls for revolution. In the midst of the clash and the cacophony of all the voices that are yelling and screaming at each other, there are always those voices that try to calm things down and that call for civility and that call for us to seek common ground upon which we can hopefully move forward in a constructive way together. But those voices never seem to gain very much traction in our media or in the culture. I suspect because most people believe there really isn't that much common ground. That things either have to be my way or your way. But I believe that there is common ground that is shared by all of us, regardless of race or age or gender or political affiliation or social status. And that common ground is suggested to us by Paul's use of the word glorified in this text. We all want a more glorious future for ourselves, for our families, for our nation, in which the human family lives together in pure love and peace toward one another. That's our common ground. That's what we all want, to live in a more glorious world, where every life is treasured, where every relationship is at peace, where every soul is beautiful, and where the law of love governs us all. Now, it seems that many people believe that the only way to get to that glorious future is by revolution, to forcibly overthrow the present imperfect unjust system so as to bring about a better and a more just system to replace it. And it struck me as I read this epistle reading, getting ready for this, that many of the very things that Paul lists here, distress, persecution, danger, sword, death, power, these are the very things that revolutionaries believe are somehow going to bring about a more glorified future for us. And this approach has been tried over and over throughout history. Consider what happened in the days of Martin Luther. The peasant farmers in Germany had it up to here with the increasing burden of taxes to support the life of the nobility, the compulsory unpaid labor for their landlords, the draconian penalties they had to pay, the absence of any real rights in the Holy Roman Empire or any way of seeking redress for their grievances. And then along comes Martin Luther, who stands up to the system, the church and the empire, the pope and the emperor. He stands up to them. And with the onset of the Reformation, the peasants take heart. And they are hopeful that this Reformation of Luther might be the revolution that sparks change for them and a better life. In 1520, Luther wrote a tract called On Christian Freedom. The operative word was freedom, which the peasants took to mean that divine justice was in their favor. God wanted them to be free. And feeling their oats, the peasants formulated their demands in a document that many historians regard to be the first manifesto for human rights and civil liberties. And when those demands were not met, you know what happened. Revolution broke out. Violence against the system. Well, turned out Luther was not very pleased that these peasants were upsetting the peace. Just as many of you are probably not pleased about what rioters are doing in Portland these days. And so Luther encouraged the nobles, the officials, to put down this revolt by the peasants, which they did by killing over 70,000 peasant farmers. And yet another revolution failed to bring about that more glorious future for man. Or consider the Cuban Revolution that began in July of 1953 when Fidel Castro revolted against the authoritarian system of the Cuban president Batista. When I was just 1 or 2 months old, late in 1958, Castro finally brought the Batista government to its knees, and he entered into Havana victorious on January 8th of 1959. But, as we all know, the long-term results of that communist revolution were just more authoritarianism, more poverty, more arrests in the night, and secret imprisonments. And yet another revolution failed to bring about that more glorious future for man. You see, the thing that revolutionaries just don't seem to understand is that no human being, not even the most well-intentioned, idealistic, most caring human being, can ever create a replacement system that is perfect, that is not subject to corruption and abuse and cronyism and favoritism. And the reason for that is that every one of us is also corrupted. No sinner can create a perfect system that brings about pure peace and love in the human family. Even the American Revolution, for all of the exceptional things that came out of that, could not bring about that glorious future as we are now witnessing. And that's why St. Paul talks about distress and danger and sword and death and power, all those tools of revolution, not as the things that bring us together, but as the things that create separation. The instruments of revolution are the very things that Paul says threaten to separate us from the love of God. And when we are separated from the love of God, how can we possibly love one another? Because as St. John says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God." Love is from God. It is not from Castro. It is not from Mao Zedong or Thomas Paine or Robespierre. It is not from Black Lives Matter or Antifa or white supremacist or neo-Nazi revolutions of any kind, but from any revolution. Love is from God. And yet we keep having these revolutions because apart from the love of God, revolution is the only hope we have for the future that we all want. Unless you know the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul writes, he says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he called, and those whom he called, he justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified." Do you see? The promise of Christ is the very thing that revolutionaries have been seeking throughout human history. a truly glorious replacement system in which love reigns forever. But they've never been able to achieve it, which is why the Bible warns us, do not put your trust in mortal men in whom there is no salvation. Sinners cannot create perfect systems. But as the Bible also says, it is better to take refuge in the Lord. And that does not mean that as Christians we should revolt and try to set up a new world system governed by the laws of God. John Calvin tried that in Geneva, Switzerland at the time of the Reformation, and it was a complete disaster. Utter tyranny in Geneva. Because even Christians, it turns out, are still struggling against their corrupted nature. Nor does it mean that God's hand cannot work through human revolutions. But as Mary said in the Magnificat, the Lord brings down the mighty from their thrones. So God does work in the background of history and of revolution to dethrone kings and to topple tyrants. But what I'm talking about is the one great hope of our Christian faith that Paul talked about earlier in Romans chapter 8, when we and the whole creation are going to be set free from our bondage to decay, and when we will obtain in the new creation the glorious freedom of God's children. And there and then we will be fully conformed to the image of Christ, pure in our love for one another, perfect in peace, beautiful of heart, every one of us, glorified in every way like Jesus Christ. But the way to that glorious future was not simply to replace the current imperfect system with yet another imperfect system. The only way was to utterly recreate us. And so in perfect love, Christ took upon Himself our flesh, and He confronted all those powers that separate us from the love of God. Oh, He took upon Himself the rulers, the angels, the powers, the distress, the tribulation, the persecution, the nakedness, the danger, the sword, took them all upon Himself. He bore every pain and agony and indignity that these could inflict upon Him, even succumbing to death itself, only to rise victorious over all of it for the forgiveness of our sins, for our salvation, for our glorification to the stature of Christ. And then in baptism, we died with Him to our sins, and we rose with Him to be these new creations. And now we boast in Christ, along with St. Paul. And we say, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, and more than that, who is raised and who sits at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Oh, everything that mankind has sought through revolution is now ours through revelation, the revealing of Jesus Christ as the Redeemer of this world and of our lives. Yes, sometimes revolution is necessary in this world, when oppressors must be opposed and when tyrants must be tamed. And sometimes, yes, the new system will actually be better than the old system, but only for a certain amount of time, until that system becomes corrupted. And then the next revolution comes along with yet another new system, and on it goes, until Jesus returns. And finally, a new and eternal system will be put in place by the Lord of love, in which those who have loved the Lord, who believe in Him and are baptized into Him, will be conformed to His image, to live under Him in His kingdom, and to serve Him in everlasting righteousness and innocence and blessedness, just as He is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. In Christ we are more than conquerors in this world. We are more than conquerors because the kingdom of Christ, unlike every system created by man, the kingdom of Christ is forever. We are more than conquerors. And until that day, when we walk up to Zion and walk those streets of gold, until that day, here we are. We are the people of God whose lives of love and service should already be reflecting that glorious future of ours. So that in the midst of the cacophony of all the shouting voices in this world, amidst the rioting and the revolutions, Jesus Christ speaking through us may arise above all of the clatter, and that through us His voice would call many to share that future with us. And whether in times of relative tranquility or revolution, we will draw our strength from these promises of God and of His revelation of Jesus Christ. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.